Okay, good morning. Another year's gone by, and we're back to talking about the Mishkan again for probably a number of weeks. The Ksav HaKabbalah begins with a famous comment he really says similar to everybody else, but I thought it was a very important message. Very first psukim of the parsha, by the Barashem Moshele Mar Dabel Bnei Yisrael, V'yikuli Truma, speak to the Jewish people, and you should take from me Truma. Meis kolish asher yidvenu libo, from every person whose heart moves him, tikhu as truma, so you should take the truma, v'yikuli truma. And the obvious question that everybody talks about, it really should be, v'nasnu, v'yitnu, it should have said. V'yitnu, tell them to give truma. What do you mean, tell the people they should take truma? So Ksav HaKabbalah says something so sweet, so simple, and yet, I think, profound. Take a look inside. V'yikuli. Kisha HaMekabel Adam Chashuv Az Nechshav HaNosein KeMekabel. When the receiver of a gift is a very respected person, so then the giver actually is a receiver. In other words, if you go give a gift to the President of the United States, even if he wasn't the current President, if you would go give a gift to the President of the United States, and the President of the United States would agree to receive your gift, so you didn't give him something, you actually got something out of that. When an Adam Chashuv receives a gift from you, it's an honor for you. He doesn't need your gift. He's got everything. Your gift is not going to be... The fact that he accepted a gift from you, that's given you. Now, the Gemara Maseches Kedushin has a whole discussion about this. A fascinating discussion. The Gemara there has a case of Adam Chashuv. You know, that one of the prerequisites for marriage is that the husband has to give the wife something of value. But let's say the husband was a Adam Chashuv. So the Gemara says that the most basic fundamental rule of Kiddushin is that if the woman gives the ring to the man, it's no good, which is why nowadays they have some of these like double ring ceremonies. You know, he's going to give a ring to her, she's going to give a ring to him. The Modernish way of doing these things. So the rabbis are very not so comfortable with double ring ceremonies because it smacks of exactly this problem that the Gemara says, that the girl's given to the guy. It's got to be the guy given to the girl. But the Gemara in Kiddushin has this one case where the girl giving to the guy works. If he's an Adam Chashuv and she gives him a gift and he's like the President of the United States, or he's like, a very Chashuv Gvir, and she gives it to him. So the Gemara says that she's mekudeshes with the hana that she gets, that he was willing to receive the gift from her. Unbelievable Gemara. Daf Zayin in Kiddushin, famous Gemara of Adam Chashuv. So says the Ksav HaKabbalah, take a look, he quotes it. Kibikidushin nas nahiv amarhu. If she gave the money and he said, hareyat mekudeshesli, with the hana that you get, that I'm not sure how good the marriage is going to be going forward with such a imbalance of power in the beginning. I'm not sure. That's a different question. But kibikdushin nas nahiv amarhu. If she gives him the gift and he says hayre amukdesi with the hana that you got from the fact that I was willing to receive a gift from you because I'm such an adam chashu, im adam chashu im hu adam chashu mikudeshes. If he's a very respected person, the marriage works. Halacha lemaisa. Lachein amar kan. So he brings it here. Veyikhu v'lo amar veyit. I don't know who the Membez is. I don't know who he's quoting from. Anyway, that's why it says over here, V'yikuli truma, and not V'yitnu. So what's the lesson? V'loshen zeh nemar gamkein ba'avram. V'ekcha pas lechem, v'mokom v'etnena. V'chein ba'aliezer abad avram, v'yikach ha'ish nezem zahav v'shnei tzpidim al yodea. V'yikach ba'yokom v'yitin. Ki ha'nosnim ha'elu chashu es atzmam kimekablam. Sometimes you give something, but when you give, you actually got a lot more out of it than you gave. And when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to ruchniyistik things, spiritual matters, whatever you put into it, you get out of it a lot more than you put into it. That's the idea. So when he was telling them, now this is a great pitch for people who have to fundraise. Let's just write fundraising for giving money to yeshivas and shuls. This is it. V'yikhu li truma. You think you're giving, you're actually, because what's the Ksav HaKabbalah saying over here? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, when you give money to the Beis HaMikdash, what were they doing now? V'yikhu li truma. Me'ez kolish, collect the money to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying that even though the Jewish people were giving the money, they were actually getting out of it a lot more. When you're building a Beis HaMikdash, you feel like you're building a Beis HaMikdash, that you have a chelek, and Hashem was willing to accept your donation of gold and silver to the Beis HaMikdash. You actually got a lot more out of that than you gave. You felt like you built Hashem's house. This is a great fundraising pitch for those of us who are in fundraising. But I'm not interested in a good fundraising pitch. What I am interested in is the idea that when it comes to spiritual matters, when you give, you actually get a lot more. So that, and not just by giving money, anything spiritual that you put into, when you put kochos into learning, when you work hard at something, you think you're giving, but in reality, you get so much more out of it. Right? That's why the very, very world famous, vart, v'nasnu ish kofer nafsho. Right? The world famous vart. By the Shkmatzitz Hashak, this is Vinasnu, it's a palindrome, right? Vav, Nun, Vav, Vinasnu. Vav, Nun, Tuf, Nun, Vav. It's a palindrome. It could be spelled the same way forwards and backwards, Vinasnu. Now, paradoxically, here we're talking about vehicle, but by there it's also about giving shkolim, because whatever you give, you get back. When it comes to mitzvahs, staka, when it comes to mitzvahs, whatever you give, you get back. So I think it's an important
thing. The saying, give until it hurts. The Jews have it, give until it feels good.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I never heard that one.
Sometimes I have something.
That's good. Okay, I never heard that one. So I remember one time, a long time ago. So, I don't know, yeah, I was attending a bar mitzvah that Rabbi Bender from Darche was speaking at. And it was this Rabbi Fine from Far Rockaway. You probably know who he is, right? The old Rebbe in MTA anyway. So it was one of Rabbi Fine's son's bar mitzvahs. And I remember Rabbi Bender saying, because each of his kids, and I got actually the idea from those bar mitzvahs, I got the idea that when my son turned 7 years old, I started learning 2 Mishnayos a day with my kids when they turned 7. And when they hit 13, so you finish all of Shas Mishnayos. If you start 2 Mishnayos a day when they're 7, by the time they're 13. Now again, it wasn't always 2 Mishnayos a day. Sometimes it was 14 on Shabbos, Didn't always have the time to do it every day. right, in advance, all right. But anyway, I had 4 sons. Sometimes I ended up doing it with all my 4 sons. I don't know how much of that they remember. I remember it was more spending the time with them than it was worth anything else. I don't know how much they knew from the learning or anything, honestly. But anyway, so I remember Rabbi Bender said a line which really stuck with me, obviously. I don't remember what happened yesterday, but I still remember this one 20 years ago. So Rabbi Bender said at the bar mitzvah, he said, sometimes I'll say by a bar mitzvah, I'll say, look at the sacrifice that these kids made since they're 7 years old, learning 2 Mishnayos a day. What a sacrifice these kids. Everybody else is running around playing, and these kids are learning Mishnayos with their fathers. He got up and he started yelling. He says, it wasn't a sacrifice. They don't view it as a sacrifice. They loved every minute of it. It wasn't a sacrifice. All the kids are outside, all their friends are outside playing ball, and they're sitting learning with their father. That's Olam Haba. To them, that was like the best thing in the world. They didn't give up anything. Usually I'll praise somebody, look what he gave up to go do this. They didn't give up anything. They got much more out of it than they gave. And that's v'yikuli truma. V'yikuli says that when the giving is to an adam chashuv, so you get out of it a lot more than you give. So that's why it's v'yikuli. So this is in general with Yiddishkeit in life, to be able to give to other people, to live a life of giving to people and giving to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that giving is not something that you lose out of. That's a giving that's actually lekicha. It's a lekichas rechush. Okay, let's continue. So let's take a look at the next piece. Interesting, the Ksav HaKabbalah here, he puts together 2 things that we would never put together usually. I mean, take a look at the psukim. Chaf Hei Ches, look what he says. He takes it like this. Famous pasuk, of course, of Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham k'chol asher ani mareh uscha eis tavnis ha-mishkan v'eis tavnis kol keilah v'chein tasu. Now, what's the simple pshat here? And by the way, the Ksav HaKabbalah is always concerned about simple pshat. He's always concerned about the simple pshat. Maybe I'll bring in Rabbi Kuberman's essay on the Ksav HaKabbalah. He had like 60-page essay I was reading over vacation. I was talking about last Shabbos. Last week. Vasuli Migdash, so you should build for me this Beis HaMikdash, v'shachanti b'socham, and I will dwell in them. Kichol asher ani mareh uscha, like all that I am showing you, eis tavnis hamishkan veis tavnis kol kelo v'chein tasu. So the simple pshat is that I'm going to show you how to build a mishkan, and then I want you to follow the instructions that I give you. I want you to follow the image that I portray for you on how to build a mishkan. I don't know, he didn't like flash it on the video screen. It wasn't like a PowerPoint. He didn't like show him. So the Ksav HaKabbal is struggling with that a little bit. What does this mean? Kechol asher ani mareh uscha, like all I'm going to show you, is tavnis ha-mishkan, the picture of the mishkan, that's the way you should do it. What picture is he talking about? What did he show him? I mean, he told him. He's going to tell him. So is that all it means? What does it mean? So it's interesting. Yeah. To explain this, the Ksav HaKabbal puts this pasuk back and connects it to the words before. He reads it like this. Vasuli migdash. Vishachanti besocham kechol asher ani maros. Because there was no PowerPoint. There was no picture. Right? You would think, you follow the picture. Look at the picture. This is the way they are. Like we have the tabernacle, right? Whatever. We have those books that have the nice picture, so we know what in the world is going on. He didn't have the picture, right? We know by the menorah he did, right? He had a matbea shel eish, or he had a menorah shel eish kazeh, right? But by everything else, there was no picture, right? So the Ksav HaKabbal has a whole new, original, completely different pshat in this. Kedarko b'kodesh. What does he say? He puts it together. Vishachanti besocham kichol asher ani mara. No, it's got nothing to do with that. Vishachanti besocham kichol asher ani mara. I think he's saying a whole original idea here. Look what he says. Eshkon beinehem lekabel tfilosam v'avodosam be'oso ha'ofen she'ani mara oscha shchinasi bahar. Whoa, a whole nother pshat here. No, not the pasuk doesn't mean to say. The pasuk doesn't mean to say that I'm going to show you a picture of the mishkan, and that's the way, which is the simple pshat, I would assume. But then again, that's very shver. What's the picture? What's he talking about? So we always understood the pasuk to mean, I'm about to describe to you how to build a mishkan. So the way I'm describing it to you, that's the way you should do it. So he says, no, kechol asher ani mara oscha is going back on Har Sinai. It's going on Mamon Har Sinai. In other words, he's saying, if you want to know what the purpose of the Mishkan is, like the famous Ramban, very, very famous Ramban, where the Ramban says, and I probably should have quoted to you the Ramban here, but that's clearly what he's alluding to over here without saying it. He's clearly alluding to the famous Ramban, where the Ramban says that the whole point of the Mishkan was to be able to take the Mamon Har Sinai experience and take it with you forward. Mamon Har Sinai, there was Gilui Shechina. It was Gilui Shechina. We can't imagine what that's like. I mean, we can't imagine what it was like to be at Mamon Har Sinai and hear the Ribbono Shel Olam himself saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's why I always like to say, that's the Meshech Chochmas Pshat and Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis. Meshech Chochmas says there was no mountain suspended, but the experience was so compelling, was so real. Can you imagine? Imagine the most real experience. Imagine the most real spiritual experience you ever had in your life. I don't know what's going to be. Maybe you had by a Rebbe, you had a relationship with a Rebbe, or you, I don't know what it was. Or under the chuppah, okay, davening Yom HaNorayim. I don't know. What are the most powerful, real experiences of religious experiences that we have? Maybe it was like I'm saying, to me, it was like exposure to a particular Rebbe who I felt was, or it was, like I say, sometimes davening Yom HaNorayim, or honestly, to me, in high school, it was like sitting around with like 300 kids, singing or whatever it was, whatever spiritual experiences we have. Then try to put that up next to like being at Mamon Har Sinai, hearing the Ribbono Shel Olam say Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anyway, so the Ramban says that the whole purpose of the Mishkan, of course, and then Beis Hamikdash, and for us, cheap imitation to be in a shul, to have a shul, to have an Aron Kodesh, to have Sifrei Torah, Mikdash Ma'at, right? So I'm saying, so the whole point was to try to carry that Mamon Har Sinai experience forward. That's the whole point. That there's such a thing called Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're going to speak about that in a few moments. Kodesh HaKadoshim. By the way, Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the holiest object of Yiddishkeit was, the Luchos with the Aron, which one Jew would get to see one time a year for a few minutes. That's the way we view Kodesh HaKodashim, right? One Jew gets to see it one time a year for a couple of minutes. Because the more holy something is, the more hidden it is. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Not like today, where everything's out in the open for everybody. That's the... Anyway, but getting back to this. So let's try to look at this Ksav HaKabbalah carefully. I think this is what he means to say. V'shachanti b'socham k'chol asher ani mara. If you don't understand what it means that I'm going to be dwelling in the Mishkan, then you have to look back at what happened at Mamon Har Sinai. Because the whole goal of Mishkan, whatever it means that on top of the Aron, in between the Kruvim, my presence is going to be resting there. If you want to understand what that means, you're going to have to go back to Mamon Har Sinai. That's the way he explains the Pesukim. Again, let's read it together again carefully. Let's read it together again. V'shachanti b'socham k'chol asher ani mara. See, I think he understands K'chol asher ani mara isn't referring to a picture of the Mishkan that I'm about to show you, which is the simple pshat of the pasuk. No. K'chol asher ani mara means the way I just revealed myself to you in Har Sinai, that's the way I'm going to reveal myself in the Mishkan and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Let's read it together. V'shachanti b'socham k'chol asher ani mara. Eshkon beineyem lekabel tfilosam v'avodasam. So let's first just underscore that for a few minutes. What does v'shachanti b'socham mean? What does v'shachanti b'socham mean? V'shachanti b'socham means that the Rabbonu Shlom needed to have a dira b'tachtonim. Why? Why did the Rosh Hashanah need? Why do we need a shul? Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? Why do we need a Mishkan? We need a Mishkan Beis HaMikdash so that Klal Yisrael should understand that there is a Rabbonu Shlom who is listening to their tfilos. That when by the way, what's the whole point of Beis HaMikdash? Ki basi base tefila yikari l'chol ha'amim, azoy zak denavi. Ki basi base tefila yikari l'chol ha'amim. The ikar tafkid of the Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Salvechik develops this idea in many places, that the ikar tafkid of the Beis HaMikdash was, and this is the whole parsh that we're learning, the whole parshios for the next 5 weeks, again, I don't know, but the ikar tafkid of Beis HaMikdash is that Klal Yisrael should know that our tefilas have an address, that there's somebody on the other end of the line listening. That's the ikar tafkid of a shul. That it's not just empty words. We're not just hearing, we're bouncing up and down, shaking, and we're just blabbering words. There's somebody on the other end of the line. That's the ikar tafkid. So that's what he's saying. V'shachanti b'socham. What's the point of v'shachanti? K'chol asher ani mara. Eshkon beineyem lekabel tfilosam v'avodasam. Not just the tfilos, the karbanos also, v'avoda. Eshkon beineyem. What's the point of Hashem? It doesn't make any sense. Eshkon beineyem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what David HaMelech. By the way, this whole, I should have put this in. But the Navi, right, we talk about this every year pretty much, but the Navi writes that David HaMelech said, Hein Shamayim Ushmei Shamayim Lo Yichal Kalucha Afki Abayis Hazeh. Right, David HaMelech got the command to build the Beis HaMikdash. He said, it's absurd. What, I'm going to limit the Rebbe Shalom to a house. I'm going to build a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makes no sense. It's absurd. What was the answer? The answer was, Ki Beisi Beis Tefil Yikar Yil Cholamim. The answer is, that the reason I need a house is not for me. I'm not contained to the house. The reason for the house is that you should have a symbolic place that you should understand. There's a Kotel HaMa'aravi. You should understand there's a place that's symbolically my place, that my Shekhinah is going to dwell there. My Shekhinah is everywhere. But my Shekhinah is going to dwell there in the certain sense that you should understand that there's a place on earth that your tefillos go to. Wherever you are in the world, you have to face that place. To help you visualize, I like to say all the time that's why in the tefillos it says ata. You say baruch ata. You, when you talk to your rebbe, you will talk to him in the third person. But the tefillos, you have to take a second when you say the word ata. Every time you make a bracha, baruch ata, you have to stop for a second. Ata, who are you talking to? Ata. And but the reason why Chazal instituted brachas in that way is to help you conjure up and visualize as if there's somebody mamish right in front of you that you're actually talking to. It's hard to realize somebody else on the line. The whole point of Beis HaMikdash is that we should have a visual conception that there's somebody else on the end of the line. Again, so let's see. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, K'chol asher ani mare. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, Eshkon beineim lekabal tefilasam b'avodasan, be'oso ha'ofen sh'ani maro uscha shchinasi bahar kama ala kapores bein shnei akruvim. I think that's the way to read this. I spent a lot of time trying to figure it out. Ala kaparis bein shnei akruvim im tavnis hamishkan vim tavnis kol kelav. Ki omnam tavnis hamishkan tore al kruvim shehim srafim omde mima alo hanirim lenavi. So again, I can't say that I fully understand every word here, but I believe that what he's trying to say, and he totally rereads this pasuk in a way that nobody reads the pasuk. Nobody. Bar none. Nobody reads the pasuk like this. But he puts it together with the last pasuk and reads it like this. Vishachanti besocham, I will dwell amongst Klal Yisrael, k'chol asher ani ma'aroscha, like all that I just showed you at Har Sinai. That's the way I'm going to dwell. Where? Estavnes ha-mishkan ve-estavnes kol kelav. The way I'm going to describe to you the Mishkan v'chol kelav, v'chein tasu, and that's the way I want you to make it, but I'm going to be dwelling in there. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. That I'm going to be dwelling in this Mishkan like I dwelled on Har Sinai. So when you're building an Aron and Kruvim, realize you're building a Dira l'tachtonim, a place that's just symbolic of my presence that's going to be on top of it. I think that's what he's saying. So that's a very, very powerful and important image for us to remember. And again, for us on our level, we don't have the Shechina anymore. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the Kruvim. We don't have the Aron. We don't have the Makom HaShechina that I am hovering above it. And this is mamish the way he learns Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk. Unbelievable. Unbelievable Chiddush. Okay, let's continue. Now he has a fascinating discussion on the word Eidos. Fascinating discussion about the word Eidos. Now if I would wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you about the word Eidos, so you would immediately think about Maseches Sanhedrin and Maseches Makos. You'd think about Eidos. If I'd ask you about Eidos, you'd say Eidos. You'd say giving testimony. You'd think about Edim in Beis Din. Now, fascinatingly, the Ksav HaKabbalah points out that etymologically, you will never find. I didn't check this, and I hope the sentence that I say actually holds up. But I think what he means is you will never find the word edus in the Chumash referring to testimony. Eid as in edim. It says al pishnayim edim yakum davar, but you'll never find the word edus. Edus. He says the only place in Chumash you find the word Eidos is connection with the Luchos and the Mishkan. You'll never find Eidim testify as Eidos. And yet, in our parasha, what do we have? Right by the Aron. What does it say by the Aron? Take a look. Pasuk Tes Zayin, 233. V'nosata el Aron eis ha-Eidos asher atein elecha. He says, the only time in the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah, or in all of Tanakh, I believe, that you'll find the word about giving edus, he says, that's a concoction of Chazal. That's a concoction. You'll never find that in Scripture. You'll never find the word edus. Because he says, al pi diktuk, he says it's wrong to refer. He said, Chazal said it that way, but al pi diktuk, it's a weird conjugation of words. I'm just going to read what he says. Don't take my word for it. Let's read it. Let's read it. Ha'edus. So first he quotes Rashi in the Medrash. Ha'edus. So first he quotes HaTorah nikreis edus shehi le'edus beini uveinecha. He says the Torah is called edus because the Torah is a testimony between me and you. The Targumo Unkla says Sahadusa. Testimony. Eidos. What does it mean the Torah is an Eidos between me and you, Agav? What does that mean? The Torah is an Eidos between me and you? That the Torah says testimony that I am your God, and the Torah says testimony that you are my people. That's Lechora, the simple Pshat. And by keeping the Torah, we are testifying that we are Hashem's people, and we are testifying that He is our God. That's a simple pshat, I would assume. He doesn't like that pshat. Vim Kain, Shorasho, Ode. So he says, the Shorash, according to that explanation, of unklus and most commentaries, Sharasho, the shorish of the word is ayin vav dalet, uba al derech loshen chach mea Talmud. And it's a play on the lashon of the chachamim of the Gemara. I don't know what this mem nun lamed hey stands for. Maybe you could help me. Sheyasu shemos mi nun lamed hey. I don't know what that means. Yomru mishoresh chor charus min gor gerus zar zarus min roa roos. V'chein yomru min eid eidus. Kosher le'edus. But he says, this is not correct diktuk. V'ein ze mishkal lashon ivri. He says that this is not correct diktuk. V'lo nimtza b'chol ha-Torah eidus b'malufam ki'im b'luchos. He says you will never find anywhere in all of Chumash the word Eidos. Now, when he says Malufim, he means an U, a Vav with a dot in it, an U, not an O. A Malufim is an U, a Vav U. That's, he says you will never find anywhere in all of Torah the word Eidos with a U in that Vav, Eidos. Kiyim Beluchos, the only time you'll ever find the word Eidos is only with a description of the Luchos. You'll never find it talking about witnesses. Ever. You'll never find the word Eidus in the Torah about witnesses, he says. Again, I didn't check him up on it, but Muskel Rishon, at first glance, it seems that he's right. You have the word Eidim, but you never have the word Eidus in Chumash anywhere referring to testimony of witnesses. Only by the Luchos. Luchos HaEidus. Mishkan HaEidus. Mishkan HaEidus. Ol HaEidus. Aval HaMitzvos Nikroim Eidus. B'cholam, you will have the mitzvos referred to as eidos with a cholam. Ha'eidos v'hamishpatim. Ha'chukim v'ha'eidos. Eidosi zu'alamdeim. V'chein kulam. Why? He says, if it was a bad testimony, then it should have been eidos, because mitzvos are called eidos because they testify. Mitzvos testify. He says testimony should be eidos. V'chein kulam. Shamitzvos meidos al mashi ira v'shehaya. He says, mitzvos are called eidos because they testify on that which happened and that which was. Like many mitzvos which are zecher, I assume he means many mitzvos which are zecher is yes mitzrayim or zecher to other things that happened in our history. So mitzvos, it makes sense to say their testimony. And when the Torah wants to talk about something being testimony, it says eidos, not eidus. A dos is wrong diktuk. A dos is right diktuk. So then his question is, okay, so then what does a dos mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, he says it's a different shorish. It's not the shorish of testimony. It's the shorish of edi, of edi. Edi means something precious, something special, something unique. Alke nire lefi pshuto, shemilash a dos bimalufim, in yon edi. I don't know what he means by chali, but kesem. Kesem means a mark of distinction. Kesem is like by someone, by nida. Kesem means edi means a precious sign, a precious symbol. I'm not sure what he means by chali, but kesem means like a mark of distinction. Ediyom mehar chorev. Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es ediyom mehar chorev. Ediyom. Their precious sign. Sheshorshan, the shorish is not ayin vav dalid, which is testimony, but the shorish is ada. And again, I don't know what that mem nun lamed hay stands for. Kimo mishorish gimel ayin hay is geus. Yeah, so when you have gimel ayin, just like ayin dalid hay turns into edus, gimel aleph hay turns into geus. Hashem malach geus lavesh. Geus asa. Kain min ayin dalad hey eidus bimalufam. V'chein nemar bimelech yoash. Vayitnu alav es hanezer v'esa eidus. They placed upon him the crown, which was eidus. Eidus doesn't mean testimony. That's the wrong diktuk. Shepshutahu edi v'kishut. Shemiskashid v'hamelech. Ede means a precious jewel, a precious crown that the king enwraps himself with. Oh. V'nikru haluchos b'shem edi v'choli kesem legodel erkam. He says, the luchos are called edus, not because it's testimony. That's wrong diktuk. The luchos aren't testimony about anything, he says. The luchos are edus. They are precious. They're called edus because of their edi, because of their preciousness, because of this is the most exalted, precious possession of the Jewish peoples. Toraseinu Akdosha is luchos. Luchos are the Aseres Hadibros. This is the most precious gift. We have to view it as a precious gift. We'll go there. Come. He quotes from the Reish Lamed Shin. I don't know who that is. I got to do better research. I'll find it, but I forgot who it is. It's probably one of those diktuk scholars of the 1700s of who he used to hang out with. Dome lamama Rabbi Akiva peper karoa l'cha Hashem agdulo v'agvura tiferes v'atiferes the glory. Zuman Torah. And the Gemara quotes there the Pasuk. Not the Gemara. Yeperek HaRoah, Gemara and Brachos. Alva yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyom me'achori. Pirush Ralbag, edyom hi ha-Torah. Shehi be'emes edi u'shleimos. The Torah for us is our crown jewel. That's what we took from HaChoriv. V'tamo hasiru tzavaram mitachas ol ha-Torah. V'hu ha'edi v'hamatana ha'tov v'shayis b'yadam mehar. V'kara es ha'torah b'shem edi l'fi shehi ba'atzmusa v'tachlis ha'yofi v'atikun v'shashlemus ad sheroi la'hamshech ha'chareha mitzat atzma ad kan. So he says, luchos ha'edus mishkan ha'edus. Edi is to highlight the preciousness of Torah. Seinu Akdosha. We have to remember how precious every word of Torah is, how precious every letter, every mitzvah, every dvar halacha, every word that we learn, that we study, we should be running after it like it's the most precious gold and silver. Tovli Torah spicha me'alf yizav v'chesef. So this is the idea that the Ksav HaKabbalah stresses, that luchos ha'edus, he says, al pi diktuk, doesn't make sense to say that it's testimony. You'll never find that anywhere in all of Tanakh, the word edus. So edus is not ayin vav dalad, it's ayin dalad hey, which is a precious jewel. And luchos ha'edus, mishkan edus, does not refer to any testimony whatsoever. Rather, it's referring to the word precious, because it's the most precious possession of Am Yisrael. Fascinating! And we'll close with this last piece. Hat tip to Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg from Boca Raton for tweeting about this. Parochas. What does the word parochas mean? The parochas in Beis Hamikdash would separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadosh. So just very quickly, parochas, lashon mechitzahu, uvelashon chachamim paragod, davar hamavdil ben hamelech uvein ha'am, Rashi, b'pnei kavod hamelech, shelo yis'arev rishus hamelech im rishus ha'am. The reason why there needed to be a parochas between the v'hivdilah parochas lachem bein ha-kodesh v'in ha-kodesh ha-kodeshim. Kodesh ha-kodeshim, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. A man, human being, can go in there once a year for a few minutes. We're not allowed in the Ribbono Shel Olam's domain. That's the Kodesh ha-kodeshim. There have to be stuff in Yiddishkeit that's off limits. It's too holy, it's too precious. You're not allowed to go in there. By Yiddishkeit, we believe the more holy something is, the more secluded, the more private, the more unaccessible it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be things in Yiddishkeit that are not accessible. So Rabbi Goldberg wrote on the blog this week. Actually, he also wrote it 3 years ago, if you look and check it up. But in 2016, yeah, I think I saw on the internet it was from 2016. So he writes a beautiful, beautiful article about how nowadays, with social media, everybody's broadcasting even that which is supposed to be private. And Yiddishkeit believes the more private, the more holy something is, the more private it's supposed to be. That's the whole idea of the parochas. V'hivdilah parochas lachem between, that's what the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying over here. Look what he says. Mipnei, kavod hamelach, Shelo yis'arev rishus ha'melech im rishus ha'am. V'nasa b'mishkan u'v'migdash m'pnei kovad ha'shchina. Shelo yis'arev rishus ha'dvir. That's the regular Beis HaMikdash. No, I'm sorry. Dvir shesham mishkan ha'shchina im rishus ha'heichal. You got to separate the dvir, which is the Kodesh HaKadosh, from the heichal, which is the Kodesh. U'kamo shekasuv v'hivdila ha'paroches lachem. Bein HaKodesh, Bein Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now, of course, he's going to go off to explain the word paroches. V'shem paroches lo nimtza ki'im b'avodas ha'mishkan ha'migdash. He says, this business that paroches means a divider, you only find the word paroches being a divider only in context with Beis HaMikdash. You don't find that shoresh, parach, to mean dividing. U'mistayef l'Rav Shlomo Pappenheim, right, we researched this one, Rav Shlomo Pappenheim. He's a dictukist from the 1700s, a friend of the Ksava Kabbalah. U'mistayef l'Rav Shlomo Pappenheim, mishem perech. What does perech mean? Shehunach al asiyas hefsek v'hashbasa l'davar echad k'dei l'haskel davar sheni. He says that the research on the scholarly research on the word perech is stopping one thing to start another. So here you're stopping the Kodesh and starting the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why it's paroches. U'kemosh kasav le'el v'yavidu es b'nei Yisrael b'farech. In other words, u'mizeh ha'in shel perech hamor al afsakas davar b'shvil davar acher. In other words, v'yavidu b'nei Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farech means they stopped the easy labor and they started the impossible labor. Perech means, it means one thing is stopping and another thing is starting. Nivne shem paroches. I don't know what this means. Ketoris lahoras havilon hamafsik rishus acher kedei sheyaschil rishus acher. Shebezulas havilon, if you wouldn't have the curtain, haya also rishus moshech vaholech. Vayidei havilon nishbar v'nifrach v'hischil rishus acher. Like from the language of destroying, a pircha. Yeah, just to destroy. You're destroying one thing to start another thing. Ubebechina zu yipol shem paroches lav dafka al min vilon bilvan. Paroches doesn't mean a curtain. It's not just a curtain. Kim gamal kol mechitz of a kosel shel binyan. Even the wall. So he's going to say that's the whole machlokas, whether or not the paroches in Beis HaMikdash was just a curtain or was there actually a wall there. That's a machlokas tanoim. Kol shenasas, he says, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It could have been a wall and a paroches. It's the paroches isn't a curtain. It just means the thing that blocks. Kedei lahafsik bein rishus l'rishus. Umashim etargin paroches minyan vilon hatali ba'avir eno nachon l'fize. He says those that say paroches means a curtain, this is incorrect. It doesn't mean a curtain. A curtain happens to be something that stops between one rishus and another. But a paroches means something that stops between one thing and the other. Ki lav dafka vilon hatali. Kigam kosel binyan nikar paroches. Even the wall is called a paroches. Kikach haya be'emes b'migdash rishon shlo haya shum paroches. He says in the first Beis HaMikdash there was no curtain.
The wall.
Exactly. Ki im mechitza shel binyan she'ov ya'ama. Af agav dechsiv asisa paroches. Kigam ha'mechitza ha'hi ha'isa paroches. Ela she'tamua k'tzas. He says the Gemara in Bava Basra is against the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Shezeh mashiyo sheyosham paroches min vilon shemitcheles v'argaman ein shaych lasus binyan. You can't make a wall out of tcheles v'argaman. V'gam haRambam in Beis Habachira kasav. The b'migdash rishon lo hayoshem ela paroches achas bolvod. V'hainu k'fi mash niskar b'divrei hayomim. V'rav b'kesef mishnah higia de l'mishkan kara migdash v'tzarach bir madu l'anich divrei hayomim kipshu pshutam v'rav l'nezer. Oh, so some say there was both. V'rav Ebenezer b'pishu kasa v'zel shan kocha matzon shalsa shlomo l'pesach advir ulay akir hoya eitz. V'nir shesgan tash lo yu divrei hashas shiyusham kosel v'divrei hakosim shibdir rav shayusham parochas sosu ma'adadi. Maybe there was both. Of course, there's the Ksava Kabbalah making peace between the Torah, the Tanakh, and the Gemara, so that is what Rav Kuberman writes in his book, that the main goal of the Ksava Kabbalah.
There has to be an opening. It can't be a wall straight.
Right. There was a little opening. Exactly. Yeah. It didn't go all the way to the end, he says. There was an opening. It didn't go all the way to the end.
I thought it was in the middle.
Yeah. So again, this is the Ksava Kabbalah. That's why he called his book Ksava Kabbalah. Because the whole goal is that in his time, during the time of the Haskalah, people started trashing authentic Torah Judaism, saying, oh, the rabbis in the Talmud, they didn't listen to the Chumash. There's always contradictions. So here he said, that's why he called his parish Ksav HaKabbalah. There's no steer between the Ksav HaKabbalah. So here you see again, the Gemara in Bava Basra says what? The Gemara in Bava Basra says that there was no curtain based on Mikdash. And Divrei Hayamim says there was a curtain. So maybe you could say there was both. There was both. Okay, but to me, so this is just, I close here with a quote from Rav Soloveitchik. Time is late. You'll have to read the quote for homework. But this is a quote from Rav Soloveitchik, which Rabbi Goldberg said. And he said, it's interesting that the thing that is the most precious thing in all of Yiddishkeit, namely the Aron and the Luchos, one person would get to see once a year for a few minutes. And that's against what the whole Welt is up. That's why the parochas, v'hivdila parochas lachem, not everything that's precious. Rav Soloveitchik even says that's why he never used to kiss his kids. Now again, that's maybe a little bit brisker extreme. That's a little brisker extreme. But he says, no, it's not because I'm a kal to livak. It's not because he says in one place, it's not because I didn't like my kids. It's not because I didn't love my kids. Because I'm. See, some people think the reason I don't, my father never kissed me, Rav Chaim never kissed Rav Moshe never kissed Rav Soloveitchik, and they never kissed their kids. The briskers, they never did that. So people think the reason we never kiss our kids is because we're kal to livak, because we have no emotion. He says, Adrav, not because I have no, my emotion for my kid is the most precious, is such a precious hidden thing, I don't want to reveal it. We believe in our family, things that are the most holy and the most precious have to be hidden. They're not supposed to be revealed. My feelings for my children are so powerful and precious for me that I don't let them come out to the world because they're in the hidden domain. So we have to learn about this, that things that are precious are supposed to be hidden. And in terms of, and our most intimate relationships, people have trouble with intimate relationships now because everything's out in the open. People don't know that certain... Yeah, exactly. We believe in full disclosure. Okay.
Kind of goes what I said before, because the Torah is the most precious, and that's open. That's for everybody to come use and see and do.
Except for the Aron and the Luchos. Except for the Aron and Luchos. Even though our Aron Kodesh is supposed to be separate also.
And today it's full transparency.